You're God's minister to do good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. And I told those guys, I said, you're servants of God.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on July 7, 2021, and is titled, The Minister's Sword. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve and the message.
To protect good, to war against evil, and you've been given a sword, you've been given authority. So here again, I told him, I said, here's the problem. If any one of you want to stand, and you want to stand for the Lord, and you want to stand for the good of the people, you want to keep your community going in the right direction, you want to eradicate evil. Nobody in this room believes that methamphetamines is good for your community. If you did, you'd give them out at lunch in high school. Nobody believes that laziness is good for your community. Nobody believes that somebody should have to pay for everybody else's stuff except the guy that's getting the free stuff. He might believe that. But those put in charge, they've been given the sword. Why? So you punish evil and you protect what is good. So I told him, I said, here's what doesn't make any sense to me. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and have been endowed by their Creator with these certain and inalienable, which means God-given, rights, of which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the original text that came down from John Locke to Thomas Jefferson was the life, liberty, and estate. Ownership. You see, nowadays nobody wants to take ownership because that comes with responsibility. With responsibility comes time and effort. If you're not careful, you'll do that all day till you limp and people say you look tired. Then you'll sing a praise song twice and you don't limp no more and you ain't tired no more. You're ready to get back in the fight. But what slays me is these are God's ministers to do good in our community. Yet the pulpits won't protect our God-given rights. We want to separate. Find the guy at the front in a modern day setting, and I want you to find him in here where God calls him your minister for good and evil. No, the messenger of God's here to equip the saints to go be the ministers of good and evil in your life. He knew a long time ago it was dangerous out here, but why this is a country of God-given rights. And I told him, I said, your job, gentlemen, are to protect my God-given rights. When Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter in 1801 that talked about the separation of church and state, he simply said that God's laws and God's government is higher than all laws and government, and all rights that come from God are separate from the rights that come from men. Because if your rights come from men, then men can take your rights. If you keep living off the udder of Pharaoh, some of you can understand what I just said. If you'll just keep milking that cow, then pretty soon you'll wake up and you will be enslaved to that cow. You won't be able to stand on your own two feet. You won't have your house built on the rock. The Holy Spirit can't rule you because Pharaoh now owns your life. Our founding fathers knew that, and they knew that the Christian faith was the only hope for freedom, liberty, and justice for all. And he said, you people in charge, it's about good and evil. How many of you understand today, every morning when you wake up, it's about good and evil, and it more so now than it's ever been in the history of my life and probably the history of anybody else's. Evil has no shame anymore. At least in the days of Adam and Eve, when they did evil, they hid in the bushes. Now the bushes hide in the bushes. No, now evil has no shame. We'll take any type of unnatural behavior, any type of perversion, any type of ungodliness, and we will promote it. And Hollywood will back you up. And we'll turn that knob and invite them perverts into your living room. The whole time saying, I love Jesus. Yeah, I'm talking good. If you're not careful at your own house, pretty soon all that godless behavior will distract you. Bad company corrupts good character. If you're not careful, the enemy will come and jerk one leg out from under your stool, and your house crumbles. Your family can't stand because the family unit has been dismantled. I had a group of authorities in this room today that are here to protect your family and mine. They don't know how to do it so good all the time anymore in some places because we tell it wrong. But I told them today, I said, I'm proud to be where I live, and I'm proud to see all these men come in here, and they understand things. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid to sit and listen to a preacher. They're not afraid to come have lunch in what we deem as a little church building. They all believe in faith. They all believe in our patriotism. I was proud to be with them. And so after I told them their responsibilities of protecting my God-given rights, I said, forgive us. We've neglected our responsibility of standing with you while you do your job. So in America today, we badmouth them, curse them. This weekend, people got away with shooting Roman candles in the face of law enforcement. It's disgusting. Give everybody some good advice on the other side of that camera. Don't try that while I'm around. Unless you just want beat with a nylon rope. Where's the church? Aren't we called to be a leg in the stool? If we want our Constitution upheld, should we not get in and be a Samson? Huh? Should we not be able to stand the storm instead of run from it and talk about it and curse people who are doing their job? And Are you not called to get in the fight? Are you just called to sit here and pray till Jesus comes back? What are you going to tell him while you sit on the sidelines? I'm a coward, Jesus, but you'd love me anyhow. I shirked my responsibilities. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I didn't want to be a leg in the stool. I'm sorry that I let things fall around me, but you remember that day now, Jesus. I prayed that prayer and I blew that snot. Remember? Surely, Jesus, you remember. Somewhere in the Bible I was reading one day there where it said, away from me, you doers of iniquity, for I knew you not. I'll be darned. I believe there's another place in there, Curtis, where it says names might be blotted out of the book of life. We got people standing around America today looking at evil, praying Maranatha every week. Maranatha means come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, they should come to church here for a minute. They should come hang out here for a minute so we can read some things to them. He's coming. When he gets here, what are you going to tell him? Look what I did, Lord, on my watch. This nation that you inspired, this nation that you brought to fruition, by men and women risking their lives, their times, their families, and their fortunes, all in the name of freedom. And you, God, you're the one that inspired it. You're the one that raised up the George Washingtons. You're the one that raised up the Ben Franklins. You're the one that raised up the Thomas Jefferson. You're the one that raised up those guys. Just like today, you're raising up men and women that hear you today, Lord. You raised them up, God. And here's what we did with it. Ain't you proud, Father? We let the stool fall over because we don't have time to be a leg. We don't have time to hold up our end of the deal. I'm proud to say we're part of a fellowship and a community here today that will stand and fight for the unborn. We'll fight for our God-given rights. We'll stand with our law enforcement. We stand on our Constitution. We stand on the Holy Word of God. We'll stand with those who have been dismantled by sin and different types of behavior. And we'll stand in the grace of God that allows all men to come back to truth. We'll stand with you while you receive your second chance. We'll stand with you. And we'll fight with you. We'll fight for what you've been offered by God. We're not afraid of the fight. We're not afraid of the ACLU. We're not afraid of Antifa. We're not afraid of the Colin Kaepernicks of the world. Yeah, let him try to sit down during the national anthem in Bailey County, Texas. He'll have a mullet when they get through whacking the hair off the top of his head, telling him, get up, boy. You got to get up around here. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. Jesus is sending them out. You see, that's what my job is every week. My job is to send you out. My job is not to send you into any fire that I won't stand in. That's why I love where God has called me. I don't have the luxury of living in a protective custody of a ministry. And I'm sorry if you think that's a little harsh, but I'm going to tell you, anytime you want to live for Jesus and come on out here in the real world, knock yourself out, cowboy, because this ain't no easy gig. I do not recommend running horse sales and serving Jesus at the same time. It's a slippery slope. Somebody's got to walk it. Somebody's got to be the leg or the stool's going to fall. But he didn't tell you to go outside and be a bunch of chickens. He didn't tell you to go outside and be a bunch of weenies. He didn't tell you to sit in a huddle and hide out and pray like a bunch of Sunday morning pew potatoes. And then just scatter out of here and scatter in amongst the people where they can't tell one from another. Where the sheep and the goats all look alike. No, look here, he said, and when I sent you without a money bag, knapsack, sandals, did you lack anything? They said nothing. He sent them out trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. You know why I was tired a while ago? You know why I was limping a while ago? Because I started speaking about everything's wrong with me and I wasn't trusting God. I had Leonard play that song one more time so I could sing in the face of my enemies. The only reason I was limping is I got an enemy. The only reason I was tired is because I got an enemy. Poop on you. It's not going to do it today. And he says right here, did you lack anything? Nothing. Nothing. For all of you who have been serving Jesus, I want you to tell me where he has left you shorthanded. I'm not talking about people bought fire insurance now. I'm talking about people who sold out. Tell me what he has left you without. Nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. There's a fight going on. You should get a sword. That's what I was telling my buddies back there in the back. I said, I love old boys that's got a little history. I'd rather hang out with boys with history as I would go to a pastor's conference, I'll tell you that. You just never know when a fight's going to break out. Now, look, I'm just so y'all know, I done got my team. Y'all on your own. I've done picked out my favorites this evening. Yeah. But really, he said, sell your stuff and get a sword. You're going to have to fight some stuff off. Do you know there's guys in America today that'll preach you into a fairy tale that tells you that nothing's going to go wrong again? And we heard it in rodeo ministry. Come to Jesus today and you'll win the calf roping. Well, there's 10 calf ropers sitting in the seat. How are you going to tell which 9's going to be the losers? Yeah. Come on to Jesus. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. No. How many of y'all came to Jesus and realized that the heat got turned up a little bit? Yeah. How many of y'all came to Jesus and realized that stepping in it one time would take you back to the bottom of the hill? One trip. Get you a sword. Because you're going to have to stand. You come in here and catch your breath for a minute, but let me tell you something. There's a fight outside. In our nation, there's Jody Arringtons. We're still believing in the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still doing their dead level best to hold out hope for a nation. Your children. And yet many days they wonder, where's everybody at? Well, you know, we're Christians in church and you just can't get involved in all that. Yeah, you know what you just told me? That you don't want to be a leg. You're ready for everything to crumble down around your ears because you don't want to be a leg. What, are you cowardly? Are you lazy? Or are you just plain stupid? You don't want to be a leg. We got to start standing. Guys at the front, they're not the only ministers in town. And quit treating them like they're special. And quit babying them around. If any real ones out there like me, we don't need petted on very much. Ride us till we're tired. We do better tired. I'm preaching good tonight. Good stuff. He said, sell your stuff and get you a sword. You're going to need it. Somebody's coming by to dismantle your family one of these days. Somebody's coming by and going to try to trip you up and cause a little doubt. Somebody's going to come by and dangle that worm of sin, and you're going to be like a big catfish over there licking your lips thinking you want a bite of it. Better get your sword. Ephesians 5. Or 6, Ephesians 6. I can do Ephesians 5 if any of you are getting married tonight. Let's do Ephesians 6. Real simple scripture, and sometimes it surprises me when God wants me to go to these places because I can do Ephesians 6 blindfolded. The full armor of God. You need to put on your helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shod with the readiness of the gospel. What's the one that's left? Hold out the sword of the Spirit. Minister's sword. Bible says that this word is sharper than a two-edged sword, separating soul, spirit, bone, marrow. Have you cut the enemy's head off with your sword today? Have you carved away some of your flesh today so you can be ruled by the Spirit of God? Are you standing in the readiness of the gospel? Have you memorized this book so that nobody can take it away from you? Have you fed the Spirit that lives within you so that you feel like getting up off a chair at the end of the day and not limping anymore? You don't want to be tired anymore, and you want the anointing of God to be useful so everybody in this room can go home tonight with a sword and get up in the morning ready to do battle because your legs are standing steady and your house is on the rock. And you say, come on, devil, you little knothead. Take a little roll of me and I'll cut your head off the same way David did Goliath. I'll put it on a platter and show it to the whole world what a nunchucks you are and what an idiot you are for trying on the circumcised of God, those in covenant with the Almighty. Come on, devil, give me a shot. Praise the Lord. When are we going to do that in America? We can't. Stool's all wobbly. Nobody will step in and be the third leg. We want everybody to stand alone. We don't want to stand with the law enforcement. We don't want to stand with those who want to govern according to our documents. We just want to preach about heaven. I'm going there, but I ain't been there yet. So if I was going to tell you about heaven, I'd have to make it up. So guess what? I'll just tell you about life. Because I've been doing that one. Guess what? I got saved a man, and I'm still a man. I still remember every bad thing I ever did, every good thing. Well, I can't remember all the bad stuff. Jesus don't remember it anymore. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a fight outside. And after sitting in a room of people who have taken a vow to serve us, I think it's about time we serve them. I asked those ministers, I asked those sheriffs in there today, they're just good guys. I said, I'm just curious, how many of you have ever had a church come alongside of you? Fund you. Or want to pray for you. Just out of the blue, show up and want to pray for you. Or get involved in what you're doing in our community. You know how I became the chaplain at Bailey County Jail? Because there's a lot of dope in our town. I got grandsons. I want my grandsons to get on dope. I don't know how to meet a dope dealer. Well, I just found the ones that was inside the building. And I made friends with them and offered them a second opportunity to live and go home to their families. Fill in the gap. Do your part. Now this book, this sword, would help you fight off the forces of evil that have disrupted everything in your life. And how you can stand and have your house built on the rock. Somebody asked me one day, they said, how do you get through to them guys? Easy. It's easy. First question I ask a man, hey, bud, you got a family? You ain't kids? They ain't so darn tough anymore. Eyeballs start sweating. You see, when you find something that somebody loves more than themselves, even when you've putzed it up, now you got a place where you can go to work. Now you got something to live for. Now you got a reason to change. How many of us today as Christians, we've wanted all of our civic people, our first responders, our politicians, we want them to serve us while we preach our gospel. Last story of the night, I probably learned more about ministry this weekend than I have in 25 years. We got a family that I've preached to a jillion times because I was going to get everybody fixed.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Minister's Sword. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.